This morning, we're going to have a fun time of being able to hear a bunch of testimonies and some things that have been going on this winter, February, March. One of the neat opportunities that we get as a church is that we get to go out and we get to be used by God in other places, and we certainly saw that over these last months. I was thinking about this morning, and that I believe this with all of my heart because it's in Scripture. The Christian life is meant to be lived on our feet. We're meant to be going out with the gospel wherever God might send us. And we've had the privilege of being sent all over the world, and literally that's been true as we've been moving into the spring. We had the opportunity to have representatives. I think we had over 21 people that were someplace around the world during the months of February and March. And Laura was one of those. She's going to share a little bit about Mexico. So we had people in Mexico, we had people in Asia, and we had people in Africa. And Laura's going to start us off this morning by sharing a little bit about what happened with the Jesus film in Mexico.
Well, good morning. Okay, so Pastor Brian gave me 3 minutes to share about my trip, so I have 3 quotes to share with you that I hope kind of summarize what was going on. So I will start with how it all came together. Brian asked us to share one way that we saw God moving in our lives or moving in this trip, and for me, the most profound part was before the trip even started, because on a random Tuesday night in March, I was at home doing a Bible study, and on the page, there were all these words in different scenarios, and one of the phrases was gospel globetrotter. And for some reason, that stopped me, and I looked at it, and I highlighted it, and then I underlined it, and then I circled it, and then on the next page, it asks you to write out which one of those statements on this page touched you or impacted you, and I wrote gospel globetrotter out, and then I poured out this prayer that just said, well, this is a question I ask and a prayer I ask every day. What am I doing? God, what am I doing? What am I supposed to be doing? How can I serve you? What am I supposed to be doing next? What does this mean? What do these words mean in my life? And the lesson that I learned from that is to be prepared, that God answers prayers in really big ways sometimes, because the next day at 3 o'clock, Pastor Brian called and asked me this question. And is your passport current? And we need you to make a decision in about an hour. And so I did. There was an opening with the Jesus film, and somebody had canceled on a trip at the last minute, and they needed somebody to go. They happened to call Big Timber. A couple other people didn't have their passports current. So down the line, God just handed this thing into my lap in a very, very plain way. So Brian asked me this question, and then he told me all the things about the trip, which I wasn't listening to because I was just so ready to get off the phone so I could start crying because God had answered this great big prayer. And so when I got over that, I called Brian back and said, absolutely. So at 3 o'clock the next morning, I left Big Timber to get on a plane and fly to Mexico. So there we were in Mexico. With the Jesus film, and if you're familiar with the Jesus film, it translates the book of Luke into different languages around the world and then shares the film in a film version in unreached areas. So Big Timber has been a part of this ministry by sponsoring a people group in the last year. This was not the people group that we sponsored, but we were working with the Mayan people. And this was a quote that sticks with me because they have these great partnerships. So the Jesus film comes in to show the film, but they partner with local ministries and local pastors. And this was something that a local pastor there said. He said, before the Jesus film, we were fishing with a bobber, as in fishing for men, fishing with a bobber. One-on-one, they're going out and casting their rods, trying to share the gospel and touch people's lives. But with the Jesus film, it's not just a net, it's fishing with a stick of dynamite. So these pastors in the local ministries have an opportunity where they've been working to spread the gospel. And then a film comes in, and all of a sudden, they have their entire community captive in one place, and it's sometimes giving their lives to Christ in one night, which is just phenomenal. So then this last quote, Jesus speaks Mayan, now I know he understands my prayers. A woman said that after one of the film showings in one of the villages that week. So we showed it in 3 different villages, and to see the film and to watch it in another language. This is a film, the book of Luke is filled with stories that we know very well. So sometimes it's easy when we watch it in English to kind of gloss over the impact that this film has until you watch somebody watch it for the first time and watch somebody hear the gospel for the first time. And not just hear the gospel, but hear it in their heart language, hear it in the language that they heard on their mother's laps when they were babies. And to have somebody say, now I know that Jesus hears my prayers because he speaks mine, which was just phenomenal. So it was a great three days. A tool that we used a lot when we weren't in the villages where we were showing the film on a great big screen was the Jesus Film app. So it was a little app on our smartphones. You can download it. And without any cell phone service, it downloads and you can play clips from the film in any of the 1,440 languages that the Jesus Film is translated into. So you can go to this map, and if you happen to have this app on your phone and you meet someone who is from wherever they are in the world and you find their little map dot on the map in the app, you can click on it and share a little 2-minute clip from the film in their language, which is just a really incredibly powerful tool. So one last thing, and that's about my t-shirt. These are the shirts that we wore. One of the earlier pictures in the slide showed the t-shirt from the last year's mission trip, the same trip, and the back of it says, Jesus speaks Mayan and 1,300 other languages. So my shirt from a year later says, Jesus speaks Mayan and 1,400 other languages. And actually, that's updated to 1,440 languages. So that's how much this ministry is growing and how many people it's touching, with the support of churches like ours from all over the world supporting to translating this film into new languages. So thank you for that, and thank you for some time to share.
All right. And it really was cool to be able to call Laura and say, hey, can you leave, and literally fly her out the next morning. That was just awesome. We're going to move from Mexico to the Philippines. And so this will be fun. I'm going to start with the Philippines. Okay, we're going to start with the Arrowhead crew. And so I want to invite the Arrowhead crew to go ahead and come up. And we have just some pictures that are going to be rotating in the background. And so if you can put that on there. This is a slideshow that Emily put together, and you're going to meet Emily here in just a minute. But I'm going to let everyone introduce themselves and tell us where they're from. Now, remember, this is Arrowhead Bible College. It's a one-year Bible college that's a part of our sister group of churches, and we have students that come from all over the United States, and we've even had some that have come from around the world at various times and have studied for 1 year there. And I had the privilege this year of being able to travel to the Philippines for a missions and missional living class, and it was a phenomenal time. And this is just an incredible group of young people here, and we had a good time. So introduce yourselves.
My name's Julene Walker, and I'm from Oregon.
Daniel Holiday, farmer from Southwest Iowa. Proud of it.
I'm Alicia Chapin. I'm from a nut farm in Oregon, a hazelnut farm.
I'm Brianna Eiler. I'm from Villa Park, Illinois, just like 30 minutes outside of Chicago.
I'm Rebecca Cameraman, and I'm from Bozeman, Montana.
I'm Emily Drawbond, and I'm from Northern Iowa.
I'm Stephen Roberts. I'm from Laurel, Montana. I'm the only city slicker here, basically.
City? No, this was a great trip. We had the opportunity to go to Philippines, and we were preceded by Denny and Ellen and Gemma and Barb. They got there before us, but then we got to spend a couple of weeks working up at the school and painting and doing all kinds of stuff and going to some of the different communities and things like that. But I want to give, just from the Arrowhead perspective, just an opportunity for them to tell you how this trip came about. And so, Julene, if you could just share how this trip came about. And it's Julene. I affectionately call her Janine all the time. I had the privilege of messing up their names for like 3 weeks, and I'm still doing it. So tell us how this trip came about.
If I hand it off, my voice is kind of
beating me. Yep, hand it off. Daniel got to do it in the first service too, and so.
We came here to Arrowhead, and we knew that a mission trip was part of the program, and in years past it had been a trip to Costa Rica, Well, when we got here, they told us that wasn't going to happen. Their connection down there was no longer there, so they weren't sure what was going to happen. So we were kind of in suspense for a while. And then they came to us and said, presented some different options. There was like five of them, or we could come up with our own option for a mission trip. The Philippines was one of them, and we almost unanimously decided to go that route. The downfall was that it was going to be $500 more per person than what was budgeted. And so we had prayed about it for a while as to for sure what would happen. And then Jim came to us and said that they would give us some work detail days. We had five Saturdays that we worked, and then they would use that to offset the $500, and we wouldn't have to raise any more money on a personal level. And so that was how we got pointed to the Philippines and how it was provided financially.
And I just want to give you the opportunity just to pass the mic down and just tell us, you know, the high point of the trip for you personally and maybe one of the things that God did. So.
Oh, man. Well, I would say one of the highlights, I was really concerned about one particular girl that was in the class that Barb, Gemma, and Laura and I were teaching because of just her home life and everything. And I was just like, man, Lord, what do I do? Because her home life was horrible. And so I was just praying, like, Lord, I'm going to only be here for a week, and I just want to help somehow. And anyways, it was really awesome because I saw how the Lord is still working, even when I know I'm not going to be there or we're not going to be there. And this is one of the girls in the fifth grade class that accepted Christ, and it was really, really neat because I was hoping that the students that accepted Christ would be discipled in some way, because it's one thing to, like, accept Jesus as your Savior, but it's another thing to actually have people in your life that can disciple you and help you grow. And it was so awesome because that next Sunday, her and two other fifth grade students came to church, and it was just like the Lord giving me peace in my heart, knowing that he's going to provide the people that she needs and all the students and all the people need to grow in the Lord. And so I'm just really encouraged by the fellowship there and the young people there and how God's using them already to impact their community. And I'm just praying for more people to rise up and lead and disciple the young people there and then all the people in the community as well.
For me, probably the biggest impact, it was kind of in a combination of things that was building up throughout the year, but just the importance of the relationships, and it's not all about the work or just the projects that you're doing, but building the lasting relationships. And so it was really neat to see how from the past trips that they've had, just the relationships that were already there and how they will continue and just the importance of that and how I can take it home and apply it to other people that I'm around.
So I guess for me, when I first went there, I kind of was struggling with wondering, you know, we're only here for a few days, and then, you know, we only will know these people a short amount of time. Some people will only meet once. And kind of feeling like, how can I really make any difference? You know, how can I really have an impact? And God just kind of showed me that, you know, he wasn't expecting me to be a superwoman and do everything. He just wanted me to do the little piece that he had for me that day at that moment with that person. And then he also kind of showed me that, you know, it's not just while I'm on a missions trip in some other country doing this. That's something I need to be doing every day. You know, because there's all the time that you're meeting people and you only meet them once and then you never see them again. And so, you know, God has something for you at that one point and you just need to do that. You don't have to solve all the problems in the world.
So God didn't really teach me one specific thing. He taught me a whole bunch of things. But one thing that has just kept sticking out a little bit to me was that coming here to Arrowhead through the year, I've just been kind of learning how to give everything to God, how to trust him with my whole life, and what does that actually look like. And then going there and seeing their passion and their complete trust in God, where some of them don't even know when they're going to eat next or what, where the next job's coming for, how they're going to provide for their family, but seeing their, like, that new level of having to trust everything to God and take just the blessings that he gives day by day by day and moment by moment, and just seeing that firsthand was just, like, really impactful of, like, wow, his grace and sovereignty to be in control and have that, that I can do that with my life, even here every single day.
Well, I just, one thing that really hit me was just seeing how the body of Christ works in real life. Just, I mean, our team of 12 students and Brian, just how well we work together and the individual talents that came out. For me, I guess the highlight was putting together a microscope and teaching all the kids and teachers how to work the thing. And just seeing their amazing expressions. And then just worshiping with the people, the Filipinos, and seeing their passion for God and how we're halfway across the world from them, but we serve the same God, and that's just so beautiful to see.
For me, it was just really amazing to see how God worked there. Like when we went to visit the Atai tribe, we had to drive back up in the mountains and walk back in, and they were just singing and dancing and so happy, and it's just like, wow, even God works everywhere.
Well, for me, it was, I was the person that every kid like flocked to, like everyone wanted them. When I would come into the school, you could just hear them saying Stephen, Stephen, Stephen. But the hype, I wouldn't say it was a high point because I felt really sad afterwards, but when we were leaving, there was this kid, his name, I call him Quacky, because he would, like, do that with his lips and quack. I still don't know how to do it, but he would, a little bit later in the week, he would talk more to me, and he would be like, Brother Stephen, Brother Stephen. And I was like, oh, no, that's cool. I didn't think anything of it till the last day. He went a little bit away from me behind the where the kitchen area was, and he cried because I was leaving. It was one of those, you don't really realize just how much of an impact you are on their lives and how they'll probably miss you. So, yeah.
Thank you. This really was a neat trip. Being able to travel with young people who just love the Lord and just want to serve the Lord was a great experience. And this represents about half of the team that we went with. And it really is a neat deal. One of the things that we talked about in the class was, is why would we fly 8,000 miles to paint a building? And what we really talked about is because it's not about painting a building. It's about building relationships and about just sharing with everyone that we can how good God is. And we got to do that, and it was a lot of fun, and it was challenging, and it was good. And so just on behalf of our congregation, thanks for coming and sharing today, and we appreciate all of you so, so much. So. So I'm going to have Ellen and Barb and Gemma, if they're all here. If you can, oh, I'm sorry, you're too close. I can't see. So there you go. They're going to share a little bit about the Philippines also. They preceded us into the Philippines.
Well, this... No, you go. This was our second trip to the Philippines. The first one was pretty well planned out, and we knew exactly what we were doing. This time, we knew we wanted to focus on the school because that's where our hearts were, but we weren't quite sure what God had in mind. But, of course, he knew. So we get there, and the fifth grade teacher is missing. She married and came to the States, so there was a class without a teacher. Well, being a teacher for 42 years, I'm going, yes, Lord, all right. So he picked exactly what we were to do, and that's what we did most of the time we were there was teach. I just want to say one thing that I forgot in the last session. Is that if you don't, most of you know a lot about Mom. When I first started, I knew very little about Mom. But every single dime that you give to Mom or Montana on a mission goes to the projects. There is not one paid person, not one administrative cost. Everything goes to where it's supposed to go. And so if you're so inclined to give, please know that everything you give goes to the projects. Everyone pays their own way. Nothing's taken out of off the top. So anyway, we had a wonderful time, got to know, we kept calling it our fifth grade class. And Dale was really glad I didn't sign a contract and stay. But just the relationships you build, again, with the people are amazing. I have a little girl that I sponsor, and I've grown very close to their family. There's the pictures. I have a new baby now. So that was really fun. And I'm working on a plan, and God is opening up the doors to be able to provide a way for this family to provide for themselves the rest of their lives, because I can't keep going back every year. I'd love to, and I hope to go again. But so, yes, we had an awesome time, and I'll let Gemma have some time.
And we did have an awesome time. And this was my third trip to the Philippines, and my sponsored girl's name is Jelaine. And I got to really bond with her. Barb and I took the families on a little shopping spree, and we got them some new school clothes and took them out to lunch. And that was, they brought their other brothers and sisters and family members. We had a huge group, and of course we wanted to know where they wanted to eat. McDonald's! So that's where we took them. And that was just kind of neat to give them the experience of having a fun day out, something they'd never done before. And also, being with the school, I'm not a teacher, but Barb is, and I just kind of followed her around, and I handed her the chalk, and I did that stuff. But the kids connected with us, and they were our kids, and we love them, and we felt very proud to be there. So one more trip, at least, for Barb and I, and to continue the feeding program. Ellen added more kids to it. My boss is sponsoring a child now, and I think it's just going to keep growing. It's great. Oh, and our little doggy. We adopted a dog and got him fixed and got him dewormed, and he slept in bed with me after his operation.
So God provides for the animals as well as the people. And one thing I forgot to say was the amazing way that God worked with us and the Arrowhead students, because Delta Kappa Gamma had given us some money to help purchase a microscope. I'd been in correspondence with one of the teachers and kept asking her to please send some pictures of the kids using the microscope so I could share it with Delta Kappa Gamma. Well, that never happened. And so we get there, we find out here's the microscope still in a box because nobody knew how to put it together and nobody knew how to use it. Yes. So, ta-da, here comes Arrowhead and Rebecca was microbiology major, or at least knew a lot about it, and she was able to put the microscope together, taught all the teachers how to use it. Every single kid got to look into it. And the other thing we were able to do, thanks to the Women's Club, was help provide a projector for the teachers to show their lessons. Well, again, no one knew how to use it, but guess what? Arrowhead students did, so they were able to get that up and running. So just the way God worked with all of us, it was amazing, as it always is.
One other thing is the teachers buy all the school supplies for their kids. So we did get some donations, and we were able to buy some school supplies. And donations for the school would go towards that if you feel so inclined. Because they don't have much, as you can see, we provide whiteboards for them. And each student was, it was like Christmas for them. They got to have a whiteboard to write their lesson on. So one little thing.
And again, the amazing Arrowhead students came to our rescue because the whiteboards came with this just like really cheap little pen. They were able to purchase refillable whiteboard pens that they will be able to use for the whole school year. So thank you.
These kids have a chalkboard up on the front, not very good. They don't have paper. It's too expensive to have it. they don't have any lessons on paper like we had when we were kids, or maybe you didn't, but where you get math and write it all out. So these whiteboards are pretty remarkable to have. They each have one, and so they can write down whatever the teacher puts on the board, and the teacher can walk around and check their work and everything else. Pretty marvelous thing to be able to get. So small things that don't cost a huge amount of money, maybe collectively they do, have really a big impact. I'd like to take a moment right now to introduce my much older wife.
I always get that. Watching Gemma and Barb teach was just incredible. I mean, I just took my little phone and just took pictures. They were marvelous. They stepped in. It was just so much fun to see them. And concerning the dogs, Bella Donald adopted a dog the year previous, so now they both live at our house. So we love dogs, but anyway, they're sweet. I run the feeding program in the Philippines, and many of you have been there and seen it and contributed. It wouldn't happen except for the fact that this church and many others outside of this community support this work. It is a marvelous thing. Thank you very much. It happens because of your gifts. Whether you support a single child or whether you just contribute to it, thank you very much. The kids get to eat. This is ending the third year of the program, and the first 2 years we had 43 kids. And then at the beginning of the school year, which starts June into April 1 this year, and then April, May is their summer months. The teachers begged me, please, can we add more kids? So we added 14 more children. And then when I was there this time, I'm thinking about the kids whose siblings are eating, but they're not. Maybe they looked better, maybe they looked a little more nourished, I don't know. But I thought, that's ridiculous. They're watching their brother or sister eat and they're not eating. So I added 12 more kids. So now we have 69 children, which is about half of the school. And we can feed a child per month for about $12.50. So it takes about $500 a month to feed those children, or $5,000 a year. It's a 10-month school year. These are pictures of the teachers serving the kids. We were having a little trouble. These ladies, some of the people were not showing up to cook. And Vicki, our director, she would call her son or maybe one of these ladies. They would come and faithfully cook even though it wasn't their turn. So I hired them. This is Vicki. She does a marvelous job. So I hired these three ladies. So we hired three kids and added 12, three teachers and added three more kids to the program. The lady in the black shirt fled the island of Leyte, which was the one that was so damaged in the earthquake a few years ago. But she fled with her three small children because of spousal abuse. So she's really kind of alone. And now she gets to eat, and all of her kids get to eat, and at least they have a meal a day, and always rice. The Filipinos always have rice. The Department of Education also chose eight kids that they felt were undernourished. So they were using our kitchen, but feeding them in the next room, and they only feed them for 2 months, and then it's like, thanks for eating. And I thought, that is ridiculous. Why don't you just give us some money? We'll feed them. But they couldn't handle the concept of that paperwork. So we just sucked them into our program anyway, and we looked at their menu. It's a little bit lighter than what we feel, but I worked with Vicki, and I think we just adjusted the menu so that she can accommodate more kids, and it's nutritious. It really is. And in fact, I said, what are we having today? And she said, green beans. And I went, what? What have I done? And I tasted them. They were delicious. They had onions and some meat in them, and the kids mixed them in the rice. It was a very filling meal. But they were just delicious, and onions have vitamin C in them. So it was great, and I'm really pleased, and I think it's going to work just fine. And I know they're going to want to add more kids, but we have to see about that. So that's it. It's a great program, and it's really appreciated. And in fact, last year when there was flooding after Christmas, we fed the whole school, and probably, and for the same money, which it's amazing how she does that. And everybody pitched in, and besides just the kids, the teachers feed the women that cook get to feed their children too, and they get to eat, and the kids can have extra rice if there's some left over, so we want them to feel full.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to transition from the Philippines to Africa. So we're trying to cover the whole world. We won't get everywhere, but we're going to transition to Africa. And so Mary and Josh Donald are going to share a little bit, and we have a video that we're going to also share here in a minute. And so Mary?
Thank you. We just love being here and love being with all of you. The song that we sang earlier, Oh, How He Loves Us, I've always loved that song, but you feel that so deeply when you go on these trips and visit these people that have so little and are so generous to us. I mean, they have their problems, of course, but they will literally like just take whatever they have off of themselves and give it to us to show their appreciation. And it's about relationships. We have, you know, Montana on a Mission has done a lot of different projects, but I think the most important thing is giving people the opportunity to see this and to be able to go out and focus on the love of Christ and sharing that with others, and then the love that you get back. So Josh and I have been to Kenya 3 times this year to work on different water projects with Denny Nellen, and then this time Yancey Turland was there also. And I'm gonna let Yancey tell you about his project. He and Josh had a lot of fun things happen while they were working on the spring. But we've developed several springs that are providing communities with clean water for the first time. The statistic is that 50% of children under 5 die from waterborne illness, from diarrhea, without clean water. And these mothers are responsible for all the work. They go out in the morning and hike however far they need to. And in the dry season, they're just scraping their cups along a small mud puddle to get water for their families until they can fill a 20-liter jug, which weighs about 50 pounds when it's full, and then hike back. Then they go out and get their firewood for the day, and it just goes on. And whatever we can do to help them, to lighten their load, to bring health to them so that they can focus on other things besides just keeping going day to day is what we want to do. And they know that the reason we're there is because Jesus has given us and blessed us richly so we can share our blessings with them. This is my husband, Josh, and he is going to tell you a little bit more about the well that we drilled.
Yeah, so it was... like everybody keeps saying, it is all about the relationships, and I don't know what it is about Africa, and I've heard other people say the same thing that have visited Africa, but something just hit me right here. It was like, this is my home away from home. This is, you know, it's similar to here in the rural environment and the wide open spaces and lots of animals, and so just felt a real connection there. And I think the sort of God moment I have the whole time I'm there is I just... this prayer just kind of keeps going through my head of thanks. I mean, just thank you, God, for choosing me to be your vessel to bring these people water. Because when you see the look on these people's faces, when you take a spring and you gather it up and that water comes out of a pipe and it's clean, it's just, they're just amazed. I mean, they fill up their bottles of water and they look at it and they show it and they drink it and, oh, that's good water. And it's the same water they've been drinking, but it's just clean, and they're not scooping it out of a muck hole anymore, and it's just incredible experience. When we drilled the well, we got down about, everything's metric over there, so what were we at, about 50 meters? Is that where we hit the first water? And the mud, it wasn't even water, started coming up to the surface, and everybody just, hey, runs up there. And that was really great. So I just encourage everybody to, if you've ever felt called to go on a mission trip, to go. And it's just a great experience. It's almost simplified so you can concentrate more on your relationship with God. And you just, just every day you just feel it. So that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to turn over to Yancey, and he can share with you his experience.
Good morning. So I got the pleasure of going over to Africa with Josh and Mary and Denny and Ellen. It was probably one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life. Like Josh said, you go on a mission trip to go over and help other people, but I haven't gone on a mission trip yet that I didn't come back feeling like I got more out of it than I left there. And that sounds kind of selfish, but it really is. It's hugely impactful. I think that if God's calling you to go on a mission trip, you should definitely do it. The project I worked on mostly was called Repoy Springs, and Josh and Mary had kind of scoped it out. So I'm going to go to the relationship thing really quick with this picture. So like Josh said, in Africa, the people are just really easy to relate to. The guy in the orange shirt, his name is David, and the guy in the red shirt is Sammy. And Sammy is actually a pastor there, and these two were friends when they were kids. And one day I was riding in the car with David, we were going to pick up some water pipe, and he started telling me the story about how Sammy had always been a Christian. And David really wasn't, but throughout the course of their childhood, Sammy had got David to be a Christian, and he's just a really devoted individual now. Amazing person to be around. I think he's going to be really instrumental to Mom on the ground in Kenya. I think he'll be able to really help us expand the projects that we're working on there. So again, like everybody said, just going over there, creating relationships. I talk to David probably once a week. I know Josh talks to him. It's cool just to have people that you can connect with that are halfway around the world and just be able to do things for God through those people. Did you get any of those other pictures, Brian? Okay. I had another picture, and it's like Josh was talking. So we took this spring that's this little mud hole that they're in the mornings the kids all get up and they herd all their animals, and they go to this spring and their animals go drink out of this spring. So you can imagine that the animals poop and pee and all that in the spring, and then an hour later all the ladies come to get their water and they're dipping out of that same little pool. So it's just it's a bad situation. And somebody had said, well, why don't they just fix it themselves? But part of the problem is they didn't have the knowledge or the technology to be able to fix that for themselves. They thought that that's what there was. They didn't realize that they can harness that water, collect it, make it clean, and still use it for their animals. So we went there, we developed that spring, and it was pretty cool. We got all the pipes hooked up, and there's a couple guys standing down there by the hose, and all of a sudden this water starts running out the end of the hose. And the looks on their face is just unbelievable. They're so happy. And some of those guys had talked, what did they say? It had been like a week since they had actually drank water. They drank a lot of tea, but none of them had drank just straight water. And I think some of those guys probably drank 50 gallons that day. I mean, they just like, that's all they did the rest of the day. You couldn't get them to work. They were just drinking the water. But it was great to see that and just to have those relationships. One morning, Josh and I were driving over to the Springs. It's like a 45-minute drive. Anybody here that complains about county roads, go to Africa. Our county roads are like super highways. It's crazy driving over there. But we saw this giant lion. We had been there for almost a week, and I hadn't seen a lion. Well, we'd seen a female lion, but this giant male lion walks out. And I got a verse. It's Proverbs 28:1. It says, "The wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as lions." And when you see those lions walk out, it just comes strolling out. We stop the car, walks right by us, just doesn't even care that we're there. Just the boldest thing I've ever seen in my life. And so to me, that's how we should be as Christians. We should be bold. Go out there, make your stand. Like I said, if God calls you to go do something, go do it. And missions don't have to necessarily be somewhere in the world. Your mission can be right here. For the kids in school, it can be befriending that one kid that doesn't have a friend. Montana on a Mission does lots of stuff in the community, trying to help people here. So, you know, if going, jumping on an airplane for 40 hours, which is crazy, if that's not your thing, there's missions here too. So don't ever think that you have to be willing to go travel to go on a mission. Your mission can be the church, the people, whatever your mission is. Focus on that and be bold, do it for God.
Hey, and Denny, before you close us, could we show the video and then could you go ahead and share and pray for us? We haven't had a chance to share the video yet. Yep, hand washing, just real quick.
Please. Is this working?
Before I asked the Lord, what could I do? We're working with an organization in Seattle, building a clinic. It wasn't quite ready yet. And the Lord clearly said to me, teach hand washing. So I did. And Mary and I actually did it together. And we used glitter to demonstrate germs. And they always are shaking hands. So supa, is how they say it. And by the time you get down the end of the row, you still have glitter on your hands. So they were getting the concept of germs. And then we used clay, Play-Doh, to make little pretend vegetables or fruit. And then some scat. And some glitter and a fake fly, and then we showed how the fly would go from the food to the children's eyes, and just demonstrating how the flies are carrying the germs, and they were getting it. And then Mary saw on the internet something called a tippy tap, and it's two sticks about 2 meters high that are forked, and you just stick a stick through a jerry can, put a string on the neck of that and poke a hole about this far down with a nail, and then put a string on a stick and step on it, and it tips the jerry can, and they can just have a little water, a little soap on a rope, 20 cents for the soap. And because we talked about, when do you wash your hands? Oh, maybe when I get up in the morning, maybe at night, maybe. We talked about all the reasons why you should wash your hands and when. Because, as Mary noted, 50% of the kids in the third world died before the age of 5 of dehydration from diarrhea and all these illnesses from lack of hand washing and sanitation. So they were getting it. And they don't have, we were demonstrating how you could wash your hands, but it was taking too much water. And they can't carry all that for as many times as their family needs to wash their hands. So the tippy tap was just, they love the tippy tap. And we have a picture of it, but I don't know if you can find it. It's one picture's worth 1,000 words. So anyway, we did the tippy tap, and I just got the clinic was open while we were there. There was a grand opening, but now the two young men running it sent this week. They are so happy about what's happening with the people washing their hands. So last month, they had 7 cases of food poisoning. And this month, they had none. And last month, they had 7 cases, 26 cases of diarrhea. And this month, they only had 6. And on it goes. So it's happening, and they intend to do some more teaching. And there's someone that was one of our translators, and she's done some work with food storage, which would really be helpful. And so she's going to be continuing to work on that. So it's pretty exciting. Nancy and Joshua keep forgetting. Joshua forgot in 2 services about this really cool story. Nancy and you were in Repoy, and they heard a lot of noise at the springs, and they ran up to see what it was all about, and the lady was doing her wash, and then she lay down and gave birth. So they gave her a ride back home so she didn't have to walk with the baby and the laundry. And they promised to kill a goat the next day to celebrate. So that's what's, it's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting stuff.
You may all want to get up and we'll stretch. Oh. Sorry.
The ladies in our Bible study, the Wednesday morning and the Friday morning, gave money to buy little kits. We gave out nail kits. They had a nail files in it, a bar of soap, some hand lotion, a nail clipper with a little thing that you could dig the dung out from under your nails, and a nail brush. And we gave out 288 of those kits thanks to the generosity of these ladies. And they loved it. It was a coveted prize for coming to class.
The other thing, should I ask, 280 kits represents 280 families. Probably the average family over there is about 7 people, 6 people. So you can think of the number of people who are impacted by this training program is really great. I just talked about standing up and stretching because I'll be here a little bit. Just kidding. Hey, I want to let you also know that there is an opportunity for an immersion program for the women of the church. We thought maybe you'd like to go over. It could be something that Ellen could lead with Mary and Laura. It's training women how to fulfill their obligations for work. In Kenya, the woman will carry the 40-liter thing on her back and her forehead several times a day, probably three times a day, up to 3 and 5 kilometers. So I don't know if you can manage it, but that's not all. Then you also need to carry the wood. Mary's done that. It's pretty heavy, right? The big bundles on the back. They also have to do the laundry, which means going back and forth. But they cook the meal, and they'll have to slaughter the goat before if they're lucky enough to have goat that way. But also the women are obligated to build the homes. The homes are mud homes with sticks. So they kind of fulfill their responsibilities there. Perhaps some of you women would like to go along and get that kind of immersion. The men would, we'd all appreciate it. So I'd like to leave before anybody catches up with me after this. Listen, this is all about wanting to break your heart without going. Every attempt is made through its pictures, either movie pictures. Right here in a second, you'll see a real neat clip. But it's about imparting to you in the best way we possibly can do it without you going, although we'd love to have you go, what it really means to love on others and have your heart break so that when you come back, you have a tenderer heart than you ever had before. And I think I've told you before about our pastor going into this little hut in the Philippines and going up and seeing this boy, little boy, terribly retarded, cerebral palsy. He went up these long steps. I'll never, ever forget it, nor I know Will Bryan, coming down those steps, and he just walked past me down this little narrow pathway, sobbing uncontrollably like this, the whole body. What we want you to do is be able to sob even though you don't get to go, and to be better neighbors and better family members, and to break your heart, and somehow we have to make it real to you. So we hope that will happen to you. So watch this clip, kind of tells like what it is, at least in Kenya.
As our partner in Montana on a Mission, you are making a lasting difference for families in Kenya who desperately need clean drinking water. At Montana on a Mission, we are committed to having your donation create meaningful impact on both the physical and spiritual well-being of the people we work with. We are so excited to share our journey with you, now and in the future, as we work to bring clean water to those who must walk miles and spend hours every day just to provide enough water for their families' basic needs. Because of your support, children can return to school instead of spending all day collecting dirty water for their family or being sick from waterborne illnesses. With accessible clean water, mothers will have more time to care for their children, and parents will have more time to earn a living, helping to lift their family out of poverty. At Montana on a Mission, we are committed to sharing the hope and the love of Jesus Christ with the families we work with. After all, Christ's love for us is what motivates us. Every glass of clean water begins with support from you. Hope for a healthy future and love from a Savior who loves us all. We couldn't be more grateful to have you as our partner. Thank you.
It really is phenomenal. It does more than what you can possibly imagine. Hey, let's stand together, and I'm going to have Denny close us in prayer.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the privilege of and the freedom of being able to worship here, Lord. We thank you that you allow us and encourage us to keep our eyes on you. In the process of doing that, Lord, you draw the need to our minds about loving on others close right here at home, Lord. Keep our hearts tender, Lord, and keep our eyes at home and abroad.
Help us, Lord, to find ways that we can be the ones to have an impact through prayer, impact by being involved in ways to raise awareness and make it possible for us to minister to others. Bless each family here, Lord, this day as they go. Help this day be a restful and wonderful day. We thank you for the fellowship and the friends that we have in this church that is remarkable, that keeps us here. And we thank you for those friendships, Lord. Again, we thank you for the privilege of serving you overseas and the whole backbone of that of the people here and elsewhere that make that possible, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.